Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. And in this video I'm going to be talking about what anti-Semitism is, because it's the word of the moment just now, because of those horrific 7th of October attacks on the State of Israel. Atrocities indeed, something like 1,200 civilians murdered, and this was no accident, it was willful murder, it wasn't collateral damage, whilst Hamas was seeking to attack some military target, though they did in fact attack a few military targets. Primarily, it was about killing unarmed people, killing people whom they knew to be civilians and no threat to them, and kidnapping up to 200 civilians as well. Now, about 75% of the population of Israel is Jewish. It was the Jewish state founded as per Theodor Herzl's book, Der Judenstaat, which he published in 1896, A Homeland for the Jewish People. Though, of course, there's some Muslims, Christians, Druze people there, and so forth. And then it comes on to the who is a Jew debate. Is it an ethnicity? Is it a faith? Well, it's both or either. There are people who say they're Jewish in as much as that's their ethno-cultural background, even though they don't believe in the faith or practice the faith or whatever. And of course, there are people who are not Hebraic by ancestry whatsoever who convert, that they're rather few. Judaism hasn't been a proselytizing religion since late antiquity, certainly. It's possible that large groups like the Khazars on the banks of the shores of the Black Sea converted in the late Dark Ages and so on, or some of the Abayudia in Uganda, or people, a group of people in Nigeria and so forth, converting en bloc. But these are very rare exceptions. Partly because the Jews, since the destruction of the Temple of Solomon, since they were exiled by the Roman Empire in the first century AD, were scattered across the globe. That's where we get the word diaspora, the Greek word for that, as in dispersal. They were a minority everywhere and a majority nowhere. And so, obviously, they thought they were going to be safe. They had their own homeland. So there's a lot of Christian anti-Semitism, not suggesting that all Christians are anti-Semites, certainly not these days, or maybe majority never were. But is because of supposedly the blood libel, the idea that they're Christ killers. Pontius Pilate in the Gospels is shown agonizing over the decision, should he ratify the decision of the Jewish court or the Sanhedrin to crucify Jesus Christ for blasphemy on the grounds that he claimed to be the anointed one. But he realized there'd be a riot if they won't do. But should he release, he's going to, as it's Pesach, as a gesture of goodwill, he will benevolently release someone who's due to be executed, but they want to release Barabbas instead, who was a riot starter, and saying to the Jews, according to the Gospels, but you know, if there's any wrongdoing in putting this man to death, that blame is going to be on you and your children forever afterwards. I shan't be culpable, and my seed after me. And so so they say, yes, the blame will be on us. This is an excessima vox, I should say. And so Pontius Pilate has a bowl of water and washes his hands of it. Well, that's gospel truth. Christians are going to believe it's inerrant. But of course, the gospels contradict themselves in numerous places. And that's not in all the gospels. But had Pontius Pilate not been recorded doing that in the gospels, then surely he's an ascendant of Romans and Italians and so forth. So the crowd supposedly cries, crucify him, crucify him. And so, although the trouble is, that's actually vital for Christianity. If Jesus Christ wasn't crucified, there'd be no salvation, so we're told. But anyway, it was a specifically religiously motivated Christian anti-Semitism for a long time, which has largely disappeared. Then there's this racism. There's this detestable, though in some cases almost natural, distrust, dislike of the outsider. I'm not saying it's good, it's bad, but it seems to be instinctive to me, you know, that we are mammals. You've been around for 3.5 million years. We've only had a modicum of civilization for a few thousand years. We're cavemen. We're competing for resources. We've got to keep it for our tribe, and the resources are scarce, and to fight against whoever these outsiders are, and so on. It's a bit like the selfish gene, and that's wrong, and that's vicious. We've got to get beyond that. That's what civilization is, being humane, recognize our common humanity, that what unites us is so, so much greater than what divides us in every way. So there's some of that, and believing that your religion is the exclusive truth, even though Christianity is largely a plagiarism of Judaism. I suppose Christianity is kind of a heretical sect of Judaism, which really outgrew Judaism. The first Christians were all Jews. And there's even a debate in the early church, could Gentiles become Christians or not? And they could. And following Jewish dietary laws, eating kosher to begin with. And indeed, the Coptic Christians of Ethiopia, they eat kosher to this day. They practice circumcision. Their day of worship is Saturday. Incidentally, why do Christians and Jews have different days of worship? It's meant to be the seventh day. Somebody got it wrong. I don't know if Christians or Jews got it wrong. So there's that. And then, so if Christianity was good, ergo, other religions must be evil. And in Christendom, they were the only significant religious minority. The Bible said that Jews couldn't lend money for interest to fellow Jews, but they could lend it for interests to infidels. And likewise, there's a replacement theology. Christians said they were the new Jews. So therefore, the Catholic Church was the only church in Western Europe till the 16th century, said, therefore, Christians are not permitted to lend money for interests to their interests of their co-religionists. However, Jews not being Christians are permitted to do so. And so they performed a very useful function, really oiling the wheels of business. And there were guilds controlling various trades, being a butcher, a blacksmith, and almost in anything. And Jews weren't allowed into them because you had to be a Christian to be in them. So money lending or dealing in jewelry, one of the few things they could do. Often they weren't allowed to be farmers or foresters or so forth, and ghettoized by force. And obviously in the 19th century, when the ghetto was opened, and there was emancipation, and Jews were allowed access to secular education, they really prospered. Of course, education in those days was mostly about the classics, Latin and Greek, textual analysis of these dead languages. And as Jews had been Talmudic scholars for centuries, they'd really honed these aptitudes and tended to do very well in secular education, and then prosper in the professions and do very well in trade. So their mercantile acuity, well, that led to envy. People are jealous of those who are more successful than themselves. You know, I think it's like Gore Vidal says, when a friend succeeds, a little piece of me dies. Hate it. Someone's got more than me. Someone's got better exam results than I do. Someone has flourished in his or her profession and so forth. So it was just plain jealousy. So various reasons. And then other anti-Semitic tropes. Scapegoating Jews, falsely blaming them for the bubonic plague, even though Jews probably suffered more than anyone else because they lived in such densely populated areas in the ghetto, often locked in at night, only allowed to live in a very, very small area, or claiming that they were poisoning wells and that was spreading bubonic plague. There's no evidence for this whatsoever. So lots of baseless allegations. If a Christian child went missing, they would false accuse Jews of abducting and murdering this child because they needed blood to meet the blood of a virgin to be mixed with their Passover bread, and nonsense like that, completely unfounded allegations. And there was a notorious case in Ukraine before the Russian Revolution when they said, oh, this child has been murdered by the Jews, and the people the Jews were set upon were murdered themselves. And then the child turned up alive. There was no proof of the child being killed in the first place, let alone even if he or she had the person being killed by Jews, or Little St. Hugh of Lincoln, another anti-Semitic story. And so it went on. So Jews had a very hard time, and often their word couldn't be accepted in court because they wouldn't swear on the New Testament and so forth. So that's anti-Semitism, and often it was annihilationist. You know, in the Rhine Valley in Germany, the time of the bubonic plague, Jews massacred. Martin Luther, you know, this founder of Protestantism, he wrote on the Jews and their lives and saying lies. He'd say, make Moses so German no one ever realizes a Jew, and so on. So it's partly racist, as in to do with the ethnicity. It's partly religionist, to coin a word. But in Christendom, anti-Semitism has reduced, certainly since the Holocaust. People recognize just how horrific that was. And it was almost exclusively carried out by Christians. I'm not saying that Christians generally are to blame, certainly not. And obviously, they're very gallant Christians who hid Jews. And then we see the State of Israel was founded in 1948. And there was always some anti-Semitism in the Muslim world, but often it was actually Christians who treated Jews worse than Muslims did for a millennium. For about 1,000 years, almost every massacre of Jews was perpetrated by Christians, not by Muslims. But then because of the fighting between the Palestinians, 95% of whom are Muslim, and the Israelis, most of whom are Jewish, some Muslims became anti-Semitic. And it's no excuse for it, and there's no excuse to be anti-Muslim either. But these are some of the historic roots of anti-Semitism. And obviously, it's a cancer which needs to be cut out of society. There should be no racial or religious prejudice. No one's bad or good for happening to belong to a religion, an ethnicity, or a nation state. Thank you so much for watching my channel. So please subscribe on Patreon to see more content behind the paywall, and donate on PayPal. Thank you. Goodbye.